Hello, and welcome to Radio Education. This is a podcast from the Alamosa School District, and I am your host, Adriana Chapa. I am a mother, a teacher, and your neighbor. Thank you for joining us today. With us is Assistant Superintendent Dr. Luis Murillo. Welcome, Dr. Murillo.
We are celebrating today.
Yes.
Our special guest. We're here to celebrate her and to learn more.
Yes.
But I've talked about this before in other podcasts. Today's podcast is our 100th episode.
Wow.
I went back and I counted on Spotify one by one because I knew we were getting close. And today is 100
episodes. Wow.
Almost two years?
Seems like we just started.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is still my favorite day of the week because I get to learn more about our kids, our staff, our community members.
Absolutely.
Well, let's get right into it.
All right. So let's move into our first section, happenings at our campuses. So what can you share with us today about what's happening around our campuses?
Well, it's that time of the year again where we have to talk about CMAS.
All right. So remind our audience, what is CMAS?
Well, CMAS stands for the Colorado Measures of Academic Success. And it is an assessment purchased by the Colorado Department of Education to assess the level of achievement and growth for every single student in grades 3rd through 11th in Colorado.
All right. Now, what areas are tested?
All right. So grades 3 through 8 get tested in English, language arts, and math. Grades 5, 8, and 11th will get tested in those plus a science assessment.
Okay.
And then the state decides when school districts will have their 4th and 7th grade students tested in social studies. Plus we have the PSAT and SAT that our high school students take 9th, 10th, 11th for SAT. So we are on testing mode.
All right. Okay. So it is that time. So when is the testing window?
Our district's testing windows is from April 7th through the 25th.
So all right.
Pretty much the month of April we're on. And we're focused. I mean, we're always focused.
That's right. But we are hyper-focused. These are the dates. So each campus has their set testing days within this window. So tell us why these scores are important.
Yes, every campus has. I mean, we're all still
within the window. Yeah.
But different schools will do things differently based on their culture, based on several different things. These are important on many different levels. One, at the student level, the way I like to explain it to parents or students, it's like having an x-ray.
Uh-huh.
An x-ray will tell me, well, this bone is broken and this is how we need to fix it. There is absolutely nothing wrong with our kids. Let me be clear about
that.
But an assessment will let us know this is what you're good at and this is where you need more support so that you can improve. At the school level, we are able to look at trends so we know what's working and what's not working regarding how we deliver instruction, the materials that we purchase, the standards that we're teaching. And then as a district level, you know, we're able to then assess how we're doing district wide. As a parent, then you get to know exactly where your kid is at regarding academic achievement and academic growth. And it could be added to the body of evidence, meaning the other tests that we have our students take, such as NWA and DIBELS at the earlier grades.
All right. And so how can parents, what can they do to help their child prepare for the test? Obviously, academics are being taken care of at school.
Mm-hmm.
But how can they help now?
Well, I think the number one thing is continue to partner with schools, send a message that these tests are important. And then, as we know, just the general recommendations are making sure they're sleeping well the night before, that they're eating breakfast, that they're not anxious. I mean, they take tests. In school, this is another one of those tests. Yes, it's a little longer, but they should be prepped by the time they get to the actual test. And I think that just having the conversations with the kids about, you know, the testing, what it means, the scenario, what it might look like at the classroom, just continue to partner with schools, with teachers to make sure that we have the best testing scenario for all of our students.
Yeah, and attendance, of course.
Yeah.
Because we have to test everyone,
you
know, if they're absent on testing date, it still has to get made up, right?
Yes. So I'm glad you brought that up. The way all schools function is they will plan for that makeup day. So if a student has to be gone because, you know, they get sick or stuff happens, then we plan for makeups.
All right. So what happens if a child scores partially met expectations, which is the lowest bracket, right? So what can a parent expect should their child score in there?
Yeah. The lowest bracket is did not meet expectations.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which is lower than partially, but I mean, it's still just as alarming. I guess what needs to happen, again, several things for the parent is this lets me know that my kid needs help. For the educator in the school, this lets them know that the kid needs help and we got to do something.
Right.
So then they're put into remediation groups, they're put into intervention groups, or which everything could be done in the classroom or they could be done in different times depending on the school. But it really, it sounds an alarm that the kid needs some extra help. But then on the other hand, we have to keep in mind that we do get to educate them for 13 years. So it doesn't have to all be made up in 1 year.
Right, right. You just want to see improvement every year. All right. Okay. So let's move on to our favorite section, celebrate.
All right. Our guest today has been on the podcast before.
Yes.
So she knows how to
do this. And we even talked about her.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We actually did speak about her last time. She's been in education for 20 plus years. But the reason why she is here is because she was recently named as the CASE, the Colorado Association of School Executives, Elementary Principal of the Year. And this is a huge deal.
Absolutely.
Anyway, let's just get into it. I'd like introduce Michelle Wilson.
Congratulations and welcome to Education Radio. So Michelle, I know you've been on here before, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I am Michelle Wilson. I am from Alamosa. I was born and raised here. I have two beautiful daughters. One is in vet school at CSU, and my youngest is at UCCS in nursing school. I've been married, this is 28 years.
Wow.
Yes. My family's still here. My sisters are here. My mom and dad are here. My brother's in Colorado, but he's not here. So
cool. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
All right, Michelle.
Okay.
So I started talking about CASE and the award, but I'm going to let you tell us, what does this even mean?
Personally or?
Well, okay. Let me talk about what it means and then you can talk about it personally. So in Colorado, there are 1,887 public elementary schools, all with a principal.
Right.
The Colorado Association of School Executives, one must pay to be a member.
Right.
It is safe to say that the majority of school principals and school executives pay to be a member. And every year there is a process for someone to be nominated out of 1,887 possible candidates. And then a committee narrows down and names five finalists, which then get invited to an in-person interview. And a committee selects every year one elementary principal of the year, one middle school, one high school, one assistant. And it just so happens that our very own Michelle Wilson.
Yes.
Is the principal of the year. So anyway, how about that introduction?
Okay.
What does it mean to you?
Gosh, so, boy, I don't... It's just such a very humbling experience. I think that I started in education in 2000. That was my first year. So this is my 25th year. And I knew that year I was in the right profession. I had colleagues that guided me and really blazed a path for me. And I learned from them and we learned from each other. And then I thought, I started at Polston Primary. Most of my years were in first grade. And then when we got into our new schools, I did second and third. And everything just kept feeling amazing. Like I kept wanting change. I kept wanting personal growth and professional growth. So then I started working on my principal license. And at the time when I received my principal's license, I wasn't quite ready to do that work yet. I wasn't ready to leave the classroom. And so I actually had that license for about 10 years before I decided to actually put it to use, like when the time felt right.
Right.
I do like to have plans. I think teachers, we plan everything. And And so I was like, you know, I think I'll give this 10 more years. And then maybe my last 10, I could try some admin experience and see how that is. And so my experience as admin started a little different. So in 2018, 2019 was my first year as dean. And I became interim principal that February. The principal that was there at the time ended up leaving mid-year-ish. And then, of course, the next year, which would have been my first official year, was the pandemic.
Oh.
So 2019, 2020, and nobody across the nation really knew how to handle a situation right. like that. So I didn't feel too alone, but it was a lot. But luckily, we had the support of the community and the kids, and we all just did the best that we could. And so I just thought, you know, I need to keep going with this. Like, I just feel like my calling's not done. What needs to be next? And so, falling into that groove once things settled with the pandemic and some of that, and figuring out within my school community, there was a lot of contention among beliefs about the pandemic and all the things. And it was like, well, what are we going to unite on? We need to unite on something, and that's education. That's why we come to school every single day. And so that's where the focus became, and that's where the drive became. And then it just became mantras for me. I'm a mantra person. Forward is a pace. We've talked
yes,
about
and
that
we
one.
We use it now.
Yes, it is. It is. I even had somebody email me the other day and ask me if that's how it went. And I'm like, it is. My kids are using it now. Like, just don't give up. We talk a lot about progress, not perfection. Nobody wants anybody to be perfect, but we can keep progressing every single day. We have structure plus strategy equals success. And we know that when we put those in place with everything, with a parking lot, which mm-hmm. we just kept working on to school structures, we know. And so it's just like these little mantras that tend to be catchy. And then we implement them, we model them, we lead with them, and we implement them. And then we all just kind of found this common ground that was school. And so talking a lot about being resilient and consistency mm-hmm. and showing up, you know, on every day, even when they're tough, even when they're hard, and we've right. already made it through 100% of our hardest days.
Absolutely.
So we can keep going. And so finding that common ground. So when I was honored with this, I just kept thinking, what's such an honor to be able to represent that, to be able to represent the community and my school and our colleagues and our superintendents, and just to be able to represent that, because it's not me alone at all. It is all of us.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were.
It is definitely all of us. So to be able to be part of this process and to represent our community and where I come from, where we all come from, it's just very humbling. It's a great experience.
And what a sign of a great leader who then reflects it back to the campus. Good for you.
Yes, thank you.
All right. So I've got tons of questions.
Okay.
So when did you find out?
So my interview was on a Friday, and they told me they would call me that Monday. And so the following Monday, they had called, but I'd missed the call. It was like the start of the day. It was with some students. And then when I called him back, he told me over the phone. It was Pat, so from Case.
Nice. Yeah. And so what did you do? You got the call. What happened then?
I think I froze.
And absorbed that. Oh,
yes.
What a huge honor.
Yes, because I wasn't sure what to expect with the call. I think like anytime you're expecting a call, you know, we've been on some of the other ends of those calls, so we right. know how we lead with them. I'm like, which way is he going? Which way is he? You know, yeah. he kept trying. But he just said it right out, and he was so kind. He had won it last year, and so he was able just to share just some of his experiences and things to look for, and just gave me some quick advice on some things that were upcoming, and it was just great. But I froze, and he said, We'll tell your superintendents, but you could tell your family. But then wait till Case puts it out. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't talk to anybody about it? Could you tell your staff about it?
Not yet. So it was like what they call embargoed mm-hmm. for yeah. like 2 days. So they called me on Monday, and Wednesday is when it came out public, when they wow. made their announcement. Yeah. So, but Luis and Diana knew beforehand.
And so you guys then celebrated real quick.
We celebrated and then we got ready for the big announcement. Because what we wanted is as soon as it was announced publicly by Case, that's when we put it out on our Facebook page and through the local media outlets as well.
Cool.
All right, Michelle, I gave sort of an overview on, you know, the process, but we'd like to hear from you. And if you can give us some insights on how does one get to be named the Colorado Elementary Principal of the Year?
Okay, so it does come from a nomination. And I did get my nomination for Dr. Murillo. And then I received an application. And so the application is pretty intense. It entails multiple essays just on best practices, how you're leading your school, philosophical beliefs, your hardest thing you've experienced, the best thing you've experienced. And so it's a pretty extensive application process. And you know that that's going to be the first thing that is looked at out of however many people and to go to a selection of five. So it does take quite a bit of work. It's four letters of recommendation as well from community, parents, supervisors, fellow administrators, that you also have to be have part of that packet as well. So it's just really in the last 25 years thinking, okay, like what is going to be part of my story here? What's going to stand out?
All right. So what does this mean to you?
So I wanna make sure I answer all the questions right here so and that I don't circle back and say the same thing twice. So I think for me and my staff and our district and the community is where my story started 25 years ago was my first year in the classroom. I had just had my first baby. Her name was Carly. And Carly passed away two months after she was born. That was my first year of teaching as well.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I was young. I think I was 22. I was just a baby. Everything was brand new. I'd been married at that time for 3 years already, but I married at 19. But Carly came 3 years later. And some grown-up experience just hit me rather quickly.
Right.
But the thing that saved me day after day after day, and I don't think really truly that I could ever thank our community enough for was one, the support from the community and not just from me, but from my family, my parents, my siblings, my everybody, because we are such a tight community. And school that year, those kids that I had that year, I know them all by name. Those parents, they were just so incredibly kind and gracious. And that year, sometimes your first year of teaching, people like to forget because it's your first year. I will never forget that year. It is still by far one of my favorite years because they just supported me every step of the way. And then the school, the community, the district, you know, I was a brand new teacher. People didn't really know me yet. But the district pulled together in ways that was like food and a SIDS tree in memory of our daughter. And just, it was just so overwhelming that you just felt like home. It just felt like family. Everybody felt like family.
Yes.
And so it is huge to me. And as a result of that, leaving this community has never been something that I've honestly ever considered. Not yet. Like I want to finish my career here. We raised our girls here. We went on to have two more beautiful girls. We keep Carly in our memory every single day. But I think that just continuing to show up, even on those hard days, and being there for each other. And so it's like always almost just, I don't feel like it's paying it forward because I just feel like what the community did, what the district did, what our staff did for me at that time was, I mean, it was just, it was amazing. I just feel like if I could do for them and make people feel the way that they felt made me feel, then I just want to keep doing that every single day. And I'm not perfect, but that truly is my goal with our community and with my staff and with our district and with our colleagues across all the schools, is just to make them feel the way that they made me feel. And it was awesome. It was just, it still is. Like it still is home for me. And so school has always been, it's always just been a second home for me. It's always been, it's never felt like work. but it's just been, it's part of me. It's just.
Right. Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
So to represent that, and it just, sometimes you feel, I feel like I'm not doing enough. I want to always just keep doing more. And because that's just what I strive to do. I just want people to feel so good the way they made me feel. And I just always want to do more. So when I found out it was me, and sometimes I initially I'm like, are you sure? Because there's a lot of great people out there. There's a lot of great candidates. Are you sure? Like those thoughts run through your head. Like, are you sure? Okay. Because for me, doing what I do every day is not because I have to, but because I want to. And so to be recognized for that has just been, it's just been super exciting, super great.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
I'll say one thing. As a district, we're, of course, very proud
of course,
Michelle. Yes. And, you know, when I think about sometimes being 4 hours south of Denver, it could feel like we're here doing great things in Alamosa for kids, you know, and just having Michelle represent our community and our district. And, you know, she's put us on the map. So that feels really good.
Absolutely. And you know, even when we interviewed you earlier, was it last year, last school year?
I think it
was
in the beginning.
Yeah, at the beginning.
And I was just so impressed by everything that you were doing. And it was like, well, you have to, I knew you had to meet success with everything, all the thought you'd put into it. And you were truly working together as a team. So when you said, well, my staff, and I thought, yeah, I expected you to say that. Because I knew you wouldn't just take that honor for you,
right?
You are the leader, you know, but I knew that you were going to then share it with everybody. And it speaks a lot about you.
It's definitely all of us. It really, really is. It's all of us.
So what happens next?
Okay. So we have a reception at the end of April that we get to be part of and recognized at. And then I will go to DC on Washington, DC, October 23rd through the 25th for like a 2-day convention of learning with all of the other principals from every other state. So all 49 other people.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm super excited.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just to learn from people. And again, just to share who we are and where we come from. And so that's in October. And then in August, end of July, the last week in July, we'll also have like a convention in Breckenridge for CASE. Like it's a conference as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you do get to compete for the National Principal of the Year, right?
So I'm a little confused on that.
Okay.
I might be confused
as well.
No, that was my impression. But the Pat that went at last year told me, he said, I don't want you to stress anymore. He said, technically your competition's done. And he said, they recognize you equally at the national level. So he said, everybody will have 2.5 minutes to be able to tell your story.
Wow. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I was like, 2.5 minutes? Okay. I'll figure this out. So that's what he said. That's what he had shared. But so I don't know. It's still a little, I'm not sure. But
we'll
either way, I'm just like so honored to be there.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us about the interview.
Okay, so the first part of the interview was a 10-minute presentation. And so basically I compiled 10 to 12 slides of just what the work that we're doing, and not just as our school, but like how it's being led by Dr. Modillo and Dr. Jones, and then how we're implementing it at the school level. And I talked a lot about our PPCT and the teacher work and how I may have provided a structure for this process, but the teachers are leading that hard work, and they're having hard conversations about academics and student performance and making sure we're all on the same level playing field, but we don't have to be the same and we can still each have our autonomy. So I talked about that, and then talked about where I came from, focused a lot on our community. And then at the end, I shared a video that we had made, that Zeppel Media had made for us, just about the school. And it was exactly 3 minutes. So my interview, I ran out of time. I was like right at the 10 minutes. And then I was able to slide the video in at the end because I had like 5 minutes left. I'm like, I have time for the video. So I got to show that.
All right. Were you nervous?
Yes. I was nervous just because I know the greatness we have down here.
Right.
And I just wanted to share that, and I want the world to know the greatness that we have down here in the valley, because we do incredible things, and it takes all of us. It takes all of us. But I really wanted to focus on that message, that it's all of us. We have some greatness. We have some great things that need to be shouted out from the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
So awesome. keep talking about that greatness, because the next question is, what do you want anyone listening from wherever people listen,
right,
to know about, you know, AES 3-5 district community that they don't might already know?
So the first thing I would say is just, we are so relationship-based, not just in the school, we are in the district and in the community. We have lots of relationships around this community that are built from the school level, personal level, growing up around here. And so we are relationship-based, and because of that, we have each other's back. We support each other at any given time, whether it's a teacher that we need to support or an administrator we need to support. We support each other, and we provide support when needed. We don't ignore it. Our community, our school, our district, we have grit and we have resilience, mm-hmm. and we show up every single day, even when it's hard, and we continue to find that common ground.
Excellent. So what brings you joy about your job?
So even right before I came here today, I just have so much joy. We're decorating for CMAS and our pep rally on Thursday. And we have talked about the process of how, you know, all year long, we've come to school to learn. We do all these things. But we're also going to celebrate, and our teachers are nervous. And I don't blame them. I mean, it shouldn't, but there's a lot that weighs on your CMAS scores.
Sure.
And we're nervous because everybody questions, are we doing enough? Did we do enough?
Right.
And I'm like, you're doing enough and you did enough and we're okay. So now let's celebrate. We're not still to the summit. We still have to the end of May, but we are still up the climb, and we're just going to keep enjoying it. We're just going to keep enjoying it as we go. And so tonight, everybody, we are doing color walled hallways, and we created a wall that says this is the greatest show, and I have all our staff pictures on it, and the hallways look amazing with the kid art and the teacher support of coloring, like covering the walls. Everybody was just so happy. And so what I enjoy is, like, I also love the laughter of kids at recess time. I do recess every single day. and in the lunchroom, as chaotic as it can be, you can learn a lot in the lunchroom. Mm-hmm. I love to see the learning, and oh my gosh, just going into classrooms and watching teachers do what they do best, is they're just doing this magic with kids, and kids are learning. And I had a teacher today celebrate a fifth grader in her division and decimals, and it just makes me so happy. And then just people want to be there. So it just,
awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Besides CMAS, what keeps you up at night?
CMAS always keeps us up at night. I think in this role, you see a lot, and there's situations sometimes that you're in that makes you worry about kids. And mm-hmm. you just want to make sure everybody's safe.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think that keeps me up. Yeah.
All right. If you had a magic wand that could magically change one thing about our education system immediately, what would it be?
That money wasn't such a big factor.
Money. We've heard it a bunch of times over and over. Fund schools, please.
Yes.
Once and for all.
Fund schools, because this is where it starts.
Right.
This is where.
And without this.
Yeah. Then what?
Where's our future?
Yeah. Where is our future? And AI can't do everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, exactly. And I think we need to remember we're still human. And, if I could wave a magic wand, it would, like, not having to be counting every single penny and to give teachers and staff the pay that we all know we want to give them, and have the money to do so, and to support our students with all the resources they need. So that would be my magic wand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on this honor for that's yours, but yet you share it with everybody. Yes. And so congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you for taking the time to be a guest on Education Radio. We wish you the best in all you're doing at the elementary school 3 through 5. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Our next segment is upcoming events. So what's going on in the district?
Well, like we talked about, we're just around the corner from testing season. So again, please talk to your student about the importance of the test, sleeping well, eating breakfast, and giving it their all on the day of the test. Like Michelle said, without stressing about it, just prove what you know, what your teachers have taught you.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our district website. Parents, remember, educating your child is a key to their future and a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District. Students today, leaders tomorrow.